Let's get to our guest, Stephen Innes, managing partner at SPI Asset Management. Stephen, sometimes when you get good news, it's hard to figure out whether it's good news or whether good news is bad news. And then sometimes when you're trying to figure out if it's good news, like the China reopening, you're wondering whether it's really good news because although there's growth, there might be inflation. What should we be doing in our market action at the moment?
I love that analysis, Brian. That's exactly how I feel right now. The China reopening is definitely a double-edged sword when it comes to inflation. Now, while the China reopening could provide a much-needed and timely boost to the global economy, I think it's going to come with some ambiguous. Let me rephrase that: ambiguous strings. I think China is a typical supplier of low-cost goods globally, and easing of bottlenecks, supply chain bottlenecks, is going to be quite positive for inflation. Still, the bad news is growth accelerates through Q1. China's insatiable demand for raw materials and all things energy is going to pump those prices up, and this is what the Fed and ECB are worried about. And I think it's this revolving negative loop of inflation we find ourselves always returning to again.
For China itself, Stephen, is it a buy with the reopening of its borders?
Unquestionably, yes. I mean, I think the low valuations were very attractive for people to get in on the initial waves. And I think any dips we're going to see, whether it's caused by spikes in COVID cases or worries about the healthcare system, are going to be bought. I think, the outlook for stocks is a lot different from other assets where you've got a longer time view to really consider those moves. And I think, you know, when we look at long-term investing, it's not a 1 or 2 month investment plan, really a multi-year investment plan. So I think signs here beyond COVID that the PBOC and other policymakers are actually going to be stimulating the economy, specifically driving money into platform technologies, and also the trying to abate some of the angst in the property markets. These are very positive signposts that investors are going to flock to.
So nobody's been going to China, and Hong Kong is right on, you know, right on the southern tip here. And it's got to be a good thing for Hong Kong. But the Hang Seng Index has just passed 20,000, coming up from 14,000 and change. I know it's a long way from what we fell from, 31,000 and change. But has a lot of this already been priced in?
I think a lot of it, the early part, has been priced in. I think it's the wait and see mode right now because we're still not really clear how mobility rebounds during the next few months. As we could see by what's happened with Tesla, extending their lockdown there, their shutdown there because of the increase in COVID. So it's unclear how corporations, foreign corporations, and also households are going to react to the next COVID regime. How things are going to react that before we're going is still a little bit uncertain. This could weigh on growth throughout the early stages and possibly even into greater part of 2023.
If you take a step back and look at the broader markets, global stocks, they've fallen as rates climb. What assumptions are you making about where they'll head next year? Set to fall further, especially bearing in mind that they fell from massively elevated levels?
You know, we're looking at sticky inflation encompassing through the planet right now, and this is still going to be a problem. And I think, although everybody was wrong in their inflation outlook in 2022, where they thought it would subside, I think we could have the same problem again in 2023. And this could be actually spurred on by this China reopening. It could embolden the Feds to hike interest rates even more. I would be surprised if we're still talking about rate hikes at the end of 2023. And this is a problem that we're facing right now, as Fed has basically told us that they're going to, hurt the economy. Is that a good time to be owning assets of any kind, let alone long duration assets, which seem to be the favorites of the markets? I don't think so. I still think cash is probably the best at the money put you can have right now. And I'm sort of remaining in cash, at least sitting a few hands out in the early stages of Q1 to see how the cards fall before really jumping in with any gusto. I don't know what other people are thinking, but I'm taking a little bit of a defensive approach to the 2023 reopening narrative.
And what would be a sign that would get you to change your mood?
Well, inflation dropping. That would be we just went through the PCE inflation in the U.S. and we had revisions higher for October this is a bit of a problem here. I didn't really give that all clear sign that we were saying that that inflation is dropping. Look, we're still miles away from the Fed's target. My view here, it was quite easy to come from 9 to 7. You know, moving from 7 to 5 could be a little bit tricky, but certainly moving from 5 down to 2%, where the Fed's target is, going to be very difficult. I think the Feds just have to keep interest rates high if that's what their ultimate goal is, both to bring down this strong employment case and also to drive inflation out of the economy. It's going to be a challenge.
As you said, Stephen, top of mind for central banks is tightening. What could still break in the financial system that's so used to low rates and cheap money? Are there risks to financial stability?
Yeah, there is. I mean, we always look at for internal plumbing effects, and primarily that, you know, revolves around what the big items are in the U.S. and Fed's lending system, and how the Fed always, you know, will operate, and the fact amongst this evolving bond market as yields start going up again. These are things that we have to really consider. We're also coming into where we've got situations where government issues that are going to permeate in the U.S. because of the divided house we have. Lots of policies that we're getting implemented may not actually get put forward because it'll be pushed back from the Republicans. Of course, we're running into the refinancing period, and this is always going to be a wall of worry for markets this year, whether the U.S. Debt ceiling actually comes into a reasonable order. I don't think it will, because the differences they have in the house right now, this is going to be a big problem that the markets are going to have to deal with going forward.
So, Stephen, if, as an investor, if my biggest concern was recession, the reopening of China probably makes me more confident. If my biggest fear was inflation, then the reopening of China probably makes me nervous. Is it as simple as that, or are there so many other factors that this is really just 1 out of 10?
Well, you know, my view here going into 2023 was we're going to move out of the inflation narrative and start worrying about, you know, the lagged effects of what the Fed is going to do to the global economy. Obviously, it's going to hit the U.S. economy, and whether that spreads to the global economy. Now, given the fact that everything's still stemming from inflation, sticky inflation, the PCE, more inflation on coming down the pipe, likely from China. But we're still waiting to see on that, but I think it's going to happen through the commodity channels. So I think we're going to be in that very, very similar environment. I think a good asset right now is to look at is oil, for instance, right now, where we're stuck in this sort of ambivalent environment right now, where we've got these tight supplies and recession fears pulling traders in different directions. I think we're going to have this inflation narrative, slow growth narrative, pulling investors in different directions next year. And this is what I'm concerned about, at least at the early stages of 2023.
So what assumptions are you making about oil prices in 2023? And in that vein, along that vein, commodities, which have been the outperformer this year?
Well, I think we have to really be cautious about you know, looming recessions, and these are never, ever good for commodities, and they won't be good for oil prices. And that's the one concern that we have. But then we have the counter arguments getting made by, you know, likes of Goldman Sachs about the underinvestment in oil market. And this suggests to me that oil prices are going to remain high, but are we going to see $100 per barrel again? I don't think so. I think what we're going to see is a happy spot between 75 and 85. And I actually think we're near the top of that range right now in oil markets going into 2023. The reason why I'm looking at this is, first of all, we're not sure how mobility is going to unfold in China. Look, we know there's going to be a lot of psychological angst to come back out of your house after being locked in for 3 years. People aren't going to come out and be jumping for joy right away. So this could delay the reopening, you know, the reopening enthusiasm for 6 months. But
right. Stephen, we have to live it there. Stephen Innes, Managing Partner, SPI Asset Management.